had to find my agenda. Good evening. Welcome to the November 4th session of the Writers Advisory Council for WMATA. Is that me? Oh, shuffling papers maybe was doing that. Maybe.
Is everybody else's mic off?
Your mic's... Let's see if it happens again. Okay. I'll call the meeting to order, and we don't need to do a roll call tonight, I think, but we are short of a quorum. We have, I think I counted 9, is that right? No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, including Jeremy, who just left for a minute. Interesting. Now, in the past, we've made it by another 10 minutes after this, so we have to be cognizant of not taking votes until we get the quorum. So let's move right into, we're up to 10 now, or at 9, I mean. 11. Unfortunately, and because we've had a couple of members who have actually found out, yay, we're at 10. One more. We'll applaud when the 11th comes in. Let's go ahead with the public comment. Period. How many public commenters do we have tonight?
Yeah, two.
Two. Okay.
First one's up.
Yep. Can we do that? I don't know. Does that help? Does it work that way? She is speaking now as a writer.
I asked first, and they said it was okay.
Okay. I just didn't know. I wasn't saying it wasn't okay. I just wasn't sure.
So is this on? Can you hear me? Okay. So my name is Deborah McKenzie, and I'm a resident of Arlington County. And I just wanted to share that, you know, I think writers encounter many unnecessary frustrations on a daily basis. I know that there are challenges happen that are unforeseeable, and that no operation is perfect. So that's not what I'm heading at. But we would like WMATA to please address some of the frustrations that we think can be remedied. I will briefly mention 3 ongoing problems that I myself dealt with just this past week as a writer. The website, the bus stop signs, printed schedules, and customer service representatives oftentimes have different info on the same bus line. I was waiting for a bus at the stop that was stated on the website. The bus never showed. So I called customer service, and the rep said I was indeed at the correct stop. She stayed on the line with me and started to track the bus, and then she said it would be there shortly. It never showed. She said, yes, it did show. Well, there's a little more to that story, of course, but the bottom line is we found out that I was indeed at the wrong stop. So the website and the customer service rep both had the wrong information. Now, if I had had one of the pre-printed schedules, it turns out that had a different spot, which would have been the right spot. Anyway, the end result is it ended up taking me 3 hours to take a trip that normally takes 30 minutes. Blue Line riders are paying peak fares for non-peak service, and we'd like to get that taken care of. A Metro Station platform sign did not have the next train info. Instead, it just had the WMATA website. Folks around me didn't know what to do, where to go. Part of the problem is I don't have a mobile device. Nobody around me did. I estimate about 50% of riders do not have a mobile device. When asking the station manager about the information, he got on the PA system and he said, please refer to the website. So that was very frustrating. So in closing, we feel that some of these need to be addressed expediently. I believe that I know of some easily identifiable and straightforward actions or policies that we could implement, WMATA could implement in order to resolve the challenges. I hope to be able to meet in person with the Director of Bus Operations and separately with the Director of Rail Operations to discuss these and other challenges. Thank you.
Thank you. I am assuming you either have or will be conveying the specifics of that to the bus operations. Is that right, Deb? Have you already, or will you be? You'll be giving this information to the bus operations department, to the call center, or someone
in the actual bus stop.
the specific, yeah.
If you want that, yeah.
Yes, yes, because that's something that's needed. Thank you. Pardon me? Okay, great, thank you. And then, as a point of reference, the customer committee is looking at bus stops and information at bus stops as one of their initiatives for this year. Thank you. Next.
Our next speaker, Mr. Chris Barnes.
Good evening. I want to thank you for your public comment. I think that's awesome. You guys should do more of that. It's nice to know that you're riding the system and you're seeing the problems that the other riders are facing, so thank you for sharing that. My comment tonight is about public outreach, and I mentioned this probably 3 years ago. I'd love to see you guys get on social media, either with personal accounts or as the RAC, and I know there's been some talk about it. I don't know exactly where you are in that process, but I just wanted to, again, encourage it. There's an entire community of people who want to know what's going on here and can't make it to meetings. I try to live tweet as I can so people know what's going on, but you guys being out there and being vocal would be helpful. And the second part of that is to mention that the authority isn't really doing anything to help you as far as getting word out about this meeting. And I know I said this 3 years ago. They have, I think, 5 Twitter accounts right now. They never mention your meetings. They never invite the public. There's no word getting out other than the web page about who you guys are and what you're trying to do here. And I've seen from the past few meetings that you're doing some really good work now, and I'm right here alongside you championing what you're doing, and I think riders will appreciate what you're doing if they can hear it from you as well. So, again, just to encourage you, and I'm always available to help with you. If you're not familiar with Twitter or Facebook, I'll gladly help you get acclimated. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. And as you know, you personally got me going on Twitter. Thank you. Chris Barnes. Oh, that is it. That is it. Okay. I'm sorry. I was thinking we'd have another one. We are still below quorum, is that correct? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. Okay, so I'll proceed with the agenda unless I hear objections. We're not gonna vote, but no objections. We'll continue with the agenda as listed. So our special speaker tonight is Jason Minzer.
Welcome. Thanks for having me back. I'm actually going to play along because my screen's down back there. But thank you to the public commenters. I really appreciate that. I encourage more of the public to come out and share their thoughts. So thank you. I shared with you all last month, that I would come back and share with you some findings from some work that we're doing, some initial work that we're doing to look at public passenger information displays. You can go to the next slide, Joy. The communications group is looking to improve customer information access and information types. So we convened a series of small, intimate groups to probe deeper into how people are using information sources, at what point in their journey they're using it, and to also look at some new scenarios to use with the PIDs for providing detailed information. The purpose was really to come up to develop some guiding principles as we move forward in what to look at. Next slide, Joy. So one of the things that we learned was that information sources, no matter what style or type or how you're accessing it, all of them are important at some phase in the journey. Before arriving, customers tended to rely on the news, apps, social media, and alerts to get information about potential delays. As they arrived at the station, PIDs, announcements, still social media, and the kiosk information displays became important at that point. And then once they were on the platform, announcements, PIDs, and apps and social media. I don't think this came as a surprise that they're using these various tools, but it's good to know how they're using them through their journey, right? Next slide, Joy. The priorities that, yeah, please.
About your presentation.
Yeah.
If I missed it, I apologize, but when you say the PIDs, are you referring only to what's on the platform, not outside? Oh, you said the kids too. You are,
yeah,
that's the kiosk.
Never mind. Just think of the PIDs as the black and yellow signs that are providing
right.
the information.
Okay.
In terms of priorities, most certainly customers prioritize arrival times first, to then delays, line information, and then system information. And what we learned was that at times, these, particularly system information and line information, tends to interfere with the information they truly desire, which is about delays and arrival times. And this was a point of tension for them, particularly when trying to get more information about what they should do in the event of a delay. Next slide. So what was great to hear were the information frustrations that customers experience. Delay length was a big topic of discussion, namely, when we announce a delay, what exactly does that mean? Is that 15 minutes? Is it 30? Is it 45? You may recall on PIDs that from time to time, the arrival time goes blank. That gained a lot of size from the group. They do not care for that. It immediately makes them apprehensive, and how should they respond to that? Communication at the right point in the journey is important, particularly before they pass through the fare gate. Audio announcements certainly came up. For those customers that board at the end of lines, which train to get on? So anyone that's ever boarded at, say, a Franconia Springfield or New Carrollton would have that experience on what side of the platform. And then lastly, and I touched on this, was supplanting predictions with messages. And namely were elevator outages and where that actually should be or live. So the other aspect, next slide, Joy. You're on it, great. Is how important PIDs actually were to customers. And universally, customers agreed that they were important for their Metro Rail experience. They relied on them not so much in place of other information sources, but as a complement. It was their first, the first thing they looked at before they, traveled down the platform just to get a sense. Once they reached various points in the platform, they'd start to use other information sources. But one of the things that we wanted to look at were five specific scenarios that customers deal with on a regular basis, and those were near terminal experiences. So this is where, for instance, you're at Van Dorn and a train is, you're waiting to see when a train has left Franconia Springfield, and there's no prediction on the next train. So you're not quite sure when it's going to arrive. Congestion, this is particularly true when trains are bunching due to slight delays, such as crowded trains or maybe a door malfunction. Single tracking, inbound and outbound. Multiple lines, and this really is that experience for the blue, orange, silver folks, and then severe delays when trains are out of service causing delays to other trains. This is a very intensive process. We actually compared current experiences to two test scenarios for each one of these. So it was a total of 15 different scenarios that folks experienced and provided feedback on. And it was blind to the customers because what we didn't do was tell them in advance which was, the current experience, what the other two experiences were, or give them any indication of what scenario it was. And because they were so trained in terms of how to use the PIDs to determine what's going on in the railroad, they were able to easily identify many of the scenarios after the fact. So it was very telling that from a customer's experience, they are taking in a lot of data and making determinations about what's going on the railroad from that. So I'd love to spend, you know, the next hour going through all 15 scenarios, but that's not realistic. So I wanted to give you some of the highlights. What we found is that current PID information is inadequate in some circumstances, and this is particularly true during single tracking and delays. There was some skepticism about the accuracy of PIDs during these delays, certain scenarios, particularly single tracking and delays, not necessarily confident that what they're seeing is the truth, and then making at that point a decision on what they should do. No information is very distressing. As one customer said, I nearly start to hyperventilate when I don't see when I don't see information, because at that point she doesn't know necessarily what to do. We tested a series of alphanumeric and symbols to prime customers to particular events that would occur, and universally the alphanumerics were preferred over the symbols. A good example of that was in a delay situation, we would post the train was coming in 4+ minutes compared to DLY. The DLY was preferred. The plus seemed to be a little bit ambiguous unless there was some other information provided. But the minute the DLY is presented, the first question that came to mind was how long, right? So if we're to use that, it needs to immediately convey some aspect of the delay, right? And then one of the other things that we learned were PIDs are not good for solely handling certain situations. And what and this really came up around single tracking. We tried a couple different ways in indicating to a customer that there's only one track that's working. There was some symbols, there were some alphanumeric indications, but really at the end of the day, they preferred to just say, flash on the PID, single tracking, right? And immediately they could make that connection as to what they would experience and then how to interpret the information on the PID. So these were all very important things to help provide us some guiding principles as we continue with this research. This is by no means the end of it. We're just getting started. But some of those guiding principles were no information is worse than some information. So at least providing some information was important. I don't know that in some cases, one customer said, I'd much rather that information you provide be wrong than no information at all, and I would tend to disagree with that, right? So I'm certainly, we're not advocating that, but information that is to least some extent providing help in any given situation is important. An information source should not try to provide all information. And what that really means is let's use these as breadcrumbs to an experience and not have a PID try to do the work of announcements, signage, kids, those things. Let's help a customer use that source at that appropriate time, and then how to use it in conjunction with other sources. And then customers desire information that is relevant to their position in their journey. This goes back to the breadcrumbs idea, helping a customer to understand before they pass through that fare gate what that experience might look like on a platform to not only protect them from, you know, having to descend and then, you know, come back out after they've reached a pinch point, but also for them to make educated decisions or to at least engage with customers and station managers in advance to find alternative paths or routes. So, like I said, this is not by any means the end of the work. It's just the beginning. So with these guiding principles in continuing to think in these terms as we move forward, continue to ideate solutions and prototype scenarios again to see what we can do and take them back to the customer. At each point in this process, we're wanting to engage customers as well as the RAC and other interested parties, because we're constantly wanting to get that feedback. And then once we have a good foundation for which to move forward, implementation. So I will, that's the end of my presentation. I'll open it up for any questions that you may have.
Okay, and we'll start with public comment or public, yes, comment on this. So do we have members of the public that, yeah, I already saw Chris's hand go up. Do we have any members of the public back here that want to comment on that? Okay. So, yeah, let's see. How about using the one next to Will? And you can just stay right there. Yeah, because he's going to probably ask you.
Okay. I just want to clarify. Am I allowed to ask questions or just make comment? I'll make a comment.
You know how to do it.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. It was my understanding a few years ago when the kids came out that they would replace the pits. And I guess my question would be, is WMATA looking at how to change the PIDs or how to replace the PIDs with kids so that you can get more information on the platforms? Thanks.
Thank you for your question, and I'll take it back.
No, it was a comment, Jason.
Well, it was a question, too.
No, I know. That's kind of a joke. You can ask it one way or the other, but yeah. You want to be last?
Not necessarily. Save the best for last? No. all right. Thank you for the information, Jason. I had a slight concern. You mentioned that there was some skepticism about the PIDs accuracy during special scenarios like single tracking or delays. Of course, been in the system a lot of times, especially on the weekends when the majority of the single tracking is being done. And I don't know if the individuals that were, you know, making this statement were experiencing the same thing as I do, but when there is a mention of the number of minutes that the train is going to be coming, I swear it's like playing tic-tac-toe. It'll say 15 minutes, 1 second, and it'll say 10, and then it jumps back to 12, and then it jumps to 17. And so, I mean, I understand, you know, there could be possibly some delays in the hiccup or something in the system, but then I believe that is probably one thing that drives people crazy. It's like, all right, you're counting down, and then all of a sudden they count it back up. Where is the stupid train? So
yeah, no, to that point, Will, that was because that was our base scenario, right, for single tracking. That was something we definitely looked at, and it was confusing to people. So that's a good observation.
Ryan?
How many kids are there out there in the system right now?
I don't know, but I can check.
Okay. Because, I mean, I even noticed that there used to be kind of a large, I would assume it was a kid, that used to be in Chinatown giving actually Metro information on all the lines, and that one's just kind of disappeared from view. So I'm just kind of wondering, I guess Chris and I actually have very similar things. Is there a process right now to take the PIDs out because of, you know, the limitations that they have and go towards the kids? And then also, is there a priority for using the kids previous to folks entering the station rather than specifically on the platform? Because as you said, that kind of pinch point, once I enter the station, I feel like I've kind of given WMATA my money and I don't always want to leave, you know, having not gotten the service out of it. So is there kind of a plan on getting enough information to people prior to arriving at the station versus just focusing on what they're seeing when they're standing right there waiting for the train?
I can't speak to the specifics of the plan. I've only been involved in really the research aspect of it. But what I can say is that right now this research was focused on, one, understanding how folks use the different sources, and to understand how we could improve what the PIDs are providing in that process. And the other part you mentioned was we've started to install, and I don't have the exact number, the big information interactive displays. There's one over at Gallery Place right now. I'm not sure what the rollout strategy is for that, but that's certainly something we're implementing as well. I can get that detail for you as well.
Avani, did I do it right?
Yes, you did. Thank you. Hi. Can you? I'm sorry.
Number 11. Thank you.
I
have a quorum.
Can you please? This is a two-part question. Reiterate kids versus PIDs again.
Yeah. So kids are those that are at the top of the kiosk. It stands for kiosk information display, and PIDs are the passenger information display, which is a little bit more confusing, but it's essentially the black and yellow signs that you would see.
Platform.
Okay, the ones that are right.
But those also exist before the fair gates as well, so.
Okay, and then the second part of that question is, what feeds that information? So for example, if you're standing there and you're looking at it and it's, everything's working normally, you see the trains come by when they say they are. But if you see what Will was describing, where it's like 10, 15, 12, 20, 15, what's changing that time?
All I could say to that is it's most likely related to activity on the tracks. To what extent, I'm not sure. But it sounds like, and I'll look into this, the specifics of that, and maybe bring in some reps in the future from the communications team to kind of delve more deeply into this and answer those specific questions.
And that is my understanding, is that it's kind of like if you're on the way to Metro, a meeting, and you think you say, I think I'll be there in 30 minutes, and then something you hit, and then it's, okay, maybe 35. So I believe it's always calculating expected, and then something happens, and so it recalcs. But we can confirm.
So to clarify for you, my question is, what is the it? Like, what's recalculating? Who's recalculating?
Oh, yeah.
A couple of quick comments and questions. One, is there any, I've heard from some of the riders, particularly in stations, the deep stations, that they want the information before they descend into the station. It's nice having it by the kiosk, but really they would like something at the top. And I think that it's also a safety, I think it's also a safety issue. People go tearing down those deep escalators. If they knew that they had 10 minutes, or they knew they had 1 minute and couldn't make it, it might be useful.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh.
My second comment is bad information. I had an experience yesterday where bad information was better than no information. I was in Union Station on my way to a doctor's appointment. It said the train was going to be there in 9 minutes, and I went, I may miss my doctor's appointment. Then I looked up 2 minutes later, it was still 9 minutes, and then 1 minute later the train arrived. One of those things. Finally, something that has always mystified me about things like this is, I mean, I'm happy you're going through this exercise, but how do we get WMATA to change so when we install something like this, that they try to imagine various scenarios and find out, not after the fact what riders want, but before we move ahead with something new, what riders want.
Well, what I can say to that point is that the group that I've been working with on this is very interested in engaging customers at every point in the process and not just moving product forward and launching it without getting feedback. So they approached me to help with this, and it's very exciting to have customers involved at every step of the process.
Fred.
So a couple of things. The first is kind of like almost more fundamental. I would say close to the majority of stations, that the PIDs are not visible at most of the places you stand. In other words, often there's just one, and if you're like, you can't see them for where the trains are. So like, for example, I'll give you an example, Dunloring. So all the trains that are coming inbound, they go to the end of the platform. The PID is like way at the other end of the platform. You can't see it. I mean, and when they put the kids in 3 years ago, I had the same similar comment. The placement of these things, before we like get too carried away about the complexity and how clever we are, they need to be places where people can see them. And the PIDs, in many cases, you can't see or read from most of the platform. And the kids are the same thing. They're almost invisible on many places. I would guarantee you people don't even know they're there.
those are great comments. That was brought up during the conversations as well, the placement of them, and then whether or not and how accessible the information was. I can't speak to sort of the infrastructure challenges associated with that, but what I can't, because the work was primarily focused on the information, but those items are noted and considered. And same goes to Bob's previous question about being at the top of the escalator. The specific example given by customers was Bethesda and going down the escalators. So yes, those things were brought up. They've certainly been, you know, considered and they're in our notes, but you know, at this point it was focused on the information. So.
You may have kind of already answered this a little bit with Ryan's question, but with some of the limitations that were discovered with the PIDs and the information conveyed, are there plans to really be able to update the technology for the PIDs to make it maybe the displays a little bit more, whether it's intuitive or dynamic or even maybe interactive, in order to be able to provide a more of a comprehensive comprehensive display or comprehensive information regarding the delays? I mean, to me, that would seem like it's pretty common sense when you want to try to be able to provide or enhance the customer experience regarding information.
No, Jeremiah, you bring up, again, some points that customers brought up during the discussion, which is advancing the technology, maybe moving in a direction to where you have interactive, you know, screens on the platform. And these are all things that we've, you know, taken down, and I can't say, you know, what the plan is in that regard, but I do know that these were all things brought up, and the team is aware of them.
Okay, we're going to take one last comment from Dan, and then we want to move on because we do have lots of discussion tonight on various presentations.
My gosh, now we got too many people, Barbara. Thaddeus, you have to leave. We have too many people.
I know, right?
This is going to become unmanageable. Jason, one idea with respect to the comment about no information is the worst thing. I would say maybe they could consider at times giving a range instead of one number. I know that with respect to statistics, it's actually more accurate to give ranges, and maybe that's the process behind the train showing up at the platform. So, you know, I think a range is much better, even if the range is, you know, 10, 15 minutes, I would appreciate that. The other thing is just an idea. I don't know if it's even possible, but, you know, I think people work on time in terms of when a train's going to be somewhere, but sometimes it's kind of interesting to actually know where the trains are on the tracks. Mm-hmm. And that's a technology, I mean, that information is there, it's all GPS based. So I'd love to be able to say, okay, what's going on with the system? You know, where are the trains backed up? Where this train is still two stops away, it's not moving. I mean, it calls for more criticism of WMATA, but maybe that's what they need. If they're not doing it right, so, you know, you could have that in a handheld very easily, and you could sort of focus in on it.
No, thank you, Dan. I will say that I'm very happy to hear that you all have thought quite a bit about this, and you're echoing some of the sentiments that customers brought up after being primed. To your point, the location on the tracks was brought up. In addition to knowing sort of ahead of, you know, downstream where things are at or how long it will take to get to a certain place. A range wasn't actually discussed. It was brought up, but no one seemed to like that idea. But to your point, Dan, it may be, in the absence of information, it may be the best compromise as we move forward.
I mean, one of the problems that I think WMATA has is that there is a probability with respect to, always a probability with respect to when the train is going to be there. Sometimes it's more certain, like if it's a train is one stop away, it's going to be 2 minutes. But I think sometimes maybe the probability is, you know, 50-50 or 70-30, and they decide not to show any information at all, whereas they could show a range, and the probability is 100% that it's going to be within that range.
And I think, and I'll just lastly, I think that's was the intent behind the plus sign, you know, the four plus, to give that sense of, yes, there's a delay. But what we learned was is that without context, say other trains displaying certain times, it was lost in terms of that. Yeah.
I've had a begging from my left elbow that Avani gets a chance. So, and then we're going to move on to our next speaker, Jason Mincer.
I just had a quick comment. So while I think this is extremely helpful, one thing that I would say, and kind of in our conversations that we've had in the past couple of days or week or so, it would be even more helpful if we had some sort of insight into what's possible. So kind of that idea that we had lots of ideas around the table. Are they actually feasible from an operations perspective, from a business perspective? While you're telling us what the feedback is from doing this research, if there was someone else who could give us real time, again, we're giving these ideas out there, okay, no, that's not possible because of XYZ, or, you know, that's a really good idea, let's look into that. That would be really helpful for us.
Absolutely, and I'll just say this. One of the things that was refreshing about the communications team that I was working with is they came to the table and said, we don't want to artificially restrict any ideas coming to us. You know, sky's the limit. You know, colors were being suggested. So I'll take this back to them and say to them, you know, from what we've heard and what I've heard this evening, what is possible? Can you give me sort of a rundown on the parameters in that something, or I can ask them to come and share with you all.
I'm coming
another
here
point.
As we're asking questions, and they're, you know, saying, you know, real-time conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And I apologize, I don't have all of that information. I just try to get it for you.
Okay, Amplify.
And I'll just, before I start into this, I just want to let everybody know that I will be bringing other people here to speak. It's just not me. So next month you will see other individuals. But when I first came to the council and told you about the community, I also mentioned that I would come back and update you at the next available RAC meeting. So at this point, what I can say is we started off the process in mid-October. I had done some estimates based on, you know, conventional wisdom and some knowledge about where we would be at this point. And we're about 64% of the way there, which is exciting in terms of my forecasts. We're about 25% of the way there for the community overall. And we've actually, this has jumped to over 1,700 as of today. So that's really good. You know, we've been averaging about 64 new members a day, which is fantastic. You know, still encouraging the public to sign up. We want to engage as many as possible. You know, one of the first things that we did, next slide, Joy, is, you know, there's the invitation and then the welcome survey itself asks about what customers would like to see more of or how they'd like us to communicate. And quick polls was certainly one of the items that they mentioned. When the community launched, the first question we asked was, how much do you think WMATA cares about your day-to-day experiences riding the bus and rail systems? I think the numbers speak for themselves. We have, you know, a good percentage of customers that don't feel like WMATA cares. And I guess one of the things that I'm coming to the RAC to ask is, what is it that we're doing that demonstrates that we don't care? And we'd like to have that customer feedback, and I'm asking the group and those in the public to, you know, consider it and share those insights that you're learning from the meet and greets with board members and other community events that you're getting involved with. That would certainly be helpful for us. And then, you know, lastly, I'll just tell you sort of what
Jason, can I interrupt? While we were on that slide, can you explain your bars and our bars?
Oh, are they not showing?
Ours are different. Ours are longer. They're in two pieces. And do you think?
It's the second piece is the actual number. It's just not appearing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Not a problem.
Oh, okay.
No, not a problem. But yeah, and I wanted to bring this to the RAC because I feel like you'll have more insights into why it is customers don't feel like we care.
and what that means and what we might be able to do more of. And just to give you an idea of current and planned activities moving forward, we are planning in November to have a newsletter that will share what we've learned up to this point from community participation. Notifications, we're improving, right? This was a soft launch, and we're trying to improve the site, so press releases are a new thing. We actually announced the RAC application process on the community, and actually I can say with confidence that at least two of the persons that participated in the groups about the PIDs both signed up for the community and have submitted applications for the RAC, so that's really exciting. Last month, when the executive committee met with the RAC and AAC, there was some discussion over priority seating. We've done an initial look-in on priority seating, particularly around what customers are seeing. Are they seeing individuals in these spots that shouldn't otherwise be there when there are folks that need that seat? That's something. We're also investigating Stadium Armory substation impact. How are customers being impacted? To what extent? How are they managing that experience? Are they leaving earlier, later even? Are they choosing to just deal with the conditions? And then ways in which we've messaged to them on the website to see if it's been adequate for their needs. We're going to share that in the newsletter. And then tomorrow there'll be some discussion at the board meeting around alcohol advertising. And we've also taken that to the community as well. These are all things that we'll roll into the newsletter to give feedback on to the group. And then, in addition to that, we do have plans to hopefully, advance those newsletters after the community's had a chance to see them, to potentially share them with the broader public as well. So those are some initial activities. In fact, we welcome suggestions from the RAC or the general public on these topics. So thank you.
Okay, public comment on this topic. Oh, Chris. We are running behind, so I would like all of us, not just Chris, but all of us to be cognizant of that.
It's a quick comment. First of all, thank you. I'm a huge fan of Amplify, and that is saying despite some criticism online about it, I am a fan of it. I'm glad the authority is reaching out and getting comment. My suggestion is actually the same one I had for the RAC. To date, the WMATA Twitter account has not mentioned Amplify at all. I did a keyword search and did not find it mentioned at all. So I would say to help you get those numbers up, it looked like you were 64% of the way, I would encourage you to reach out to the social media team, and certainly that will help to get your numbers up. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. We'll go the other way. Jeremiah.
Just anecdotally, I think one of the perceptions of the Metro not caring is basically a lack of what Metro seems to be not doing, and that's the communications piece. Kind of going back into what we were talking about earlier in the prior presentation, as well as, like, for example, Deborah's recent experience as well, just kind of the lack of either updated information on the PIDs or just no information at all. And that does definitely, to me, at least personally as a writer from Vienna, when I can't remember the last time the PIDs actually worked and displayed information. I mean, just that kind of sense for me is just like WMATA really doesn't have doesn't really care about sharing information with us.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
Barbara, me? Okay. I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear what Jeremiah said, so if I'm repeating it, pardon me. First of all, I could never be a bus driver. I would not be able to handle a bus. So I'm not complaining about that. But when you say, why do people feel like we don't care? A lot of it comes from your employees. And when you get onto a bus and the bus driver, I've got a list as long as my arm of times when I've maybe said something to a station manager and the station manager says, not my problem, literally. And the bus driver says, I don't care, or I don't know, and you have to, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten really, really bad feedback from frontline folks. And I think, you know, yes, they have to be skilled bus drivers, and you want to get somebody who's a safe bus driver, but they're in the customer service industry. They really are. They're meeting people every day. They're transporting people from pit A to pit B. And when people have a question, they're hoping they know the answer. Now, I don't know is a legitimate answer, but that's not what they do, you know. They don't pull up to the curb. They don't, you know, I've had so many bus drivers, they just, they're you know, 10 feet out from the curb. And there's people that just can't get on. And I'll sometimes say, you know, can you pull closer to the curb? So that, I think, conveys to people that WMATA doesn't care because that's what they see.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This is the thing about customer service. One bad experience lasts forever. And my own experience with this, once I worked someplace where I had this computer system that went down every Sunday morning, and we fixed it so it didn't go down. And 5 years later, even though it hadn't been down on Sunday morning for 5 years, we were still getting customer complaints about the fact that 5 years ago, the computer was down on Sunday morning. And so the problem you have is everybody in the room, everybody who rides Metro has bad experiences, and to fix those, you can't fix that like that. It takes, you have to have long, consistent, good service to fix.
Thank you.
Yeah. My turn. This is an unpaid political announcement. You have, all of the RAC members should have received a link so that they can be part of Amplify. And I'm not looking for mass confessions, but if you haven't signed up, please take that link. If you don't remember where it is or didn't see it, then just let join them, correct? And she'll send another one because it's a wonderful opportunity for us to see what they're asking, what they're doing, what are the results, and it just puts us in the loop one more way to get understanding. And like, for instance, when I made the vote on alcohol, I could see what other people had voted. Thanks.
I didn't have a statement until just now. Can we mass tweet Facebook, et cetera, the Amplify link?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Can we mass tweet Facebook, et cetera, the Amplify link?
Yeah, it's www.amplify.
I mean, I have it. I just don't know that.
Yeah, no. Yes, please. I encourage you know, the RAC to promote it as well. I mean, it's there as a tool for all of us to, you know, learn from our customers. So.
Dan.
Two things. One, to piggyback on what Fred said, I think maybe the only hope that you have to erase people's one bad memory is to give them something completely unexpected the other way. I don't know what that is, but, you know, super good customer service, I don't know, refund on fares, who knows? I'm sure it wouldn't take much. The other thing is with Amplify, this is just an idea that came to my mind listening to you. Maybe you guys could toy around with the idea of people giving you instant or daily feedback on their experience with the Metro that day. You know, you could have them have access to an app in which it would take literally 2 minutes or 1 minute, where, you know, it would already be pre-programmed, the lines that they take. They could click, you know, red line 5, blue line, you know, 3 or whatever, and that could be used as an indicator of how the system did that day in general, and one thing versus another. Like, you could compare the blue line to the other lines and have some indication of that.
That's a great suggestion. Thank you. I will mention that we're not quite there yet, but eventually we're going to have chats where community members can respond to each other on a particular topic. So it's not directly to your point, Dan, but I'm definitely going to look into some element of that. That's great.
Thaddeus. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't see the white thing.
Best for last.
As a bus rider and in connection with the other comment about pulling up to the curb, my question is about coordinating with other departments such as Metro Police, or I don't know if it's traffic, traffic control, because lots of times I see where people are parked in the bus areas where the bus cannot pull up. So I don't know if that's something that Metro Police handles or rather traffic control handles, but some more coordination between it to keep those areas clear would show for me that there's some communication.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, we'll take Will and Clarence, and then we'll be moving on.
Okay, on the perception is what I'm focusing on. And a lot of people, and well, for the people that are here, we realize this, and of course I can't even speak for our invited public guests, but we realize that there is a lot of red tape and there is a lot of money that is involved in making change. And I believe the public, because they've gone through a long time waiting for change to happen, they think that Metro doesn't care. So because nothing's happening, at least from their standpoint on the forefront, they don't see it. You know, people are visual, so if they don't see anything happening, they don't think anything is happening. So Metro doesn't care about us. So, but exactly. So I think that is a big thing there. That is why we get that kind of response.
Clarence.
Just kind of almost piggybacking off of that, I don't know how what you're incorporating in the newsletter, but one of the points is saying if there are ways to highlight specific things that Metro is doing on the infrastructure projects that are happening, because I know there's like service lists of what's been going on this week, but if there was a tangible way at the opposite end, and like as of this week we've done this and this, and you can point to those things, I think that'd be really helpful to showing people that Metro is investing and that they can point to specific examples. On this personnel front, I think, I don't know if that's a question about possibly seeing if Metro does or has it published, doing research on how do their employees feel, because, you know, happy employees have happy experiences, and sort of seeing if bus drivers are feeling overworked or under stress or under supported, that's going to have a spillover effect into how they're going to treat their jobs. It's going to become about just getting done like what they're supposed to do, not going above the extra mile. And so, you know, I think if you're happy in your job, you're going to tend to be happier. So the question, I don't know, a customer service training, I always feel like extra work if people's like, okay, why am I doing this? But if it's like, I'm just working too many hours, then that's a question about like, if I work less, I'll be better at the hours that I am here, kind of stuff like that. So assessing their experience.
That's great. And, you know, I'll just, you know, ratcomments@wmata.com if you have continued thoughts, general public, on, you know, telling us about your experience and why you think WMATA doesn't care. That would be greatly helpful. So thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Next, we're going to take a step back to the, well, I guess it isn't a step back, it's a step forward to the minutes. I want to compliment Joy. You know, I don't know if you all know, she's not only new to the RAC, she's new to WMATA. And so she's trying to learn all this stuff at one time, so I really want to compliment her on how hard she's working. We get lots of emails back and forth, trying to take care of us. She is going to try in the future to have the minutes out sooner so that we can have a better chance to look at them before we get to the meeting. But at any rate, we need to talk about the minutes now that we have a quorum, and I will entertain a motion from someone if they want to. Oh, well, if there are any corrections, Dan.
I think this is a holdover from the September meeting, but I did adjourn the regular session. That was you on page 5.
Why, thank you.
I think you would have objected had I just.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have another comment.
Avani.
Our public commenter is Jeff Larimore, so it's Larimore.
Oh, yeah, not Lattimore. It's two R's. I think it's two R's, yeah.
And it's in multiple places.
Any other corrections? Okay. Do I hear a motion to approve them as edited?
So moved. Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Two abstentions. Do you need Jeremiah and Deborah's abstention? Probably because they weren't here. Yeah. Thank you.
on to committee reports. I am going, as always, I will say the chair's report, I believe, is in your packet, so you can take a look at it. It's what I talked about at the, is it in there? Is it not in there this time? The chair, the monthly chair report that I send to the board. Okay, so Joy, we're missing the chair report, so can you send that out separately tomorrow? Okay, thank you, and we can talk if you need help. And I'm going to hold, if there's time after we do our other committee reports, I will wait to talk about the October meetings I went to with the board. I would like to talk, though, about the next one on the agenda, the leadership quarterly meeting. We did, Dan and Bob and I, as well as Jeremiah, went to our quarterly meeting with the board of directors. Fred wasn't able to. He has work responsibilities that are an hour commute each way and it makes it hard. He did make it last time, but so we presented all the things that we had reviewed at our meeting last month. Jeremiah, as the chair of the budget committee, budget and finance, he talked about the policy recommendation we made at the last meeting, which they seem to be appreciative of, and no argument. The Bob did the customer service report on station managers, the recommendations that we had reviewed and approved here at the last meeting. And Dan presented not only, he participated in the discussion of priority seating along with the AAC, as well as presented the mobile apps resolution that we had approved at the last meeting. I would like to open the floor to Dan or Jeremiah or Bob if they have anything they'd like to say about their experience at the quarterly. Jeremiah, you can just
talk. Yeah, I was going to say, I would like to thank my colleagues because, the executive committee on the board was very receptive to the ideas. I mean, we've already gotten a commitment on the record from the DC portion that they are adamantly opposed to any fare increase, and Jack Evans has vowed that if they need to, then DC will use a jurisdictional veto to keep a fare increase from happening. So it's fare, knock on wood, but fare increases do seem unlikely this year, based on that staunch opposition from at least DC, if not any other.
I think Maryland has vocally said the same.
I think they were vocal against specific bus, whereas DC was
didn't know that
across,
okay.
But if my understanding of it was, but and they've also committed to passing on to I don't know if there's if it's going to be to Jack Recklow, the interim GM, or if it's going to be the new GM, or if that ever happens now, but to actually look at the establishing a fair refund policy, or at least have a proposal out there. So we did get their commitment to ensure that that is passed down to the GM, and we have some weight behind that now, too. So thank you very much.
Dan.
I would just like to say I was very delightfully surprised. First of all, they spent a lot of time talking to us and listening, and it was a good give and take, which allowed us to emphasize our points and bring up new points. It wasn't just us saying something and they saying okay. So I was very happy with that.
You want to take a turn, Bob? No?
Barbara.
Oh, yes. This was the first time we did a joint session with the AAC.
Yeah. It actually, I thought, went very well.
I did, too.
There were areas that we had worked on together and agreed completely, which I think one of the things that was interesting on the budget, one of the proposals that was brought by the RAC had to do with the idea of fixed fares and zones. What's interesting about that is that AAC had brought that up about 2-3 years ago, and man, it was poo-pooed, and all of a sudden they didn't like the idea. Fare simplification as far as zones is a great idea. And it's just interesting, I thought, that now they, they thought it was a great idea. They wanted to consider it. They're looking for fare simplification. So, I would also say that I was very impressed with the fact that the RAC was very articulate with its proposals on the fares, which, of course, AAC agrees with. And you also had written comments and written proposals and that sort of thing, which is very, very well done. So Even though I'd like to see us have individual meetings, I thought the joint meeting was very powerful because we had a lot of things in agreement.
I do think, I agreed. I figured we were, I was concerned that one of the groups would suffer at the hands of the other, with, like we'd run out of time, because we actually, you know, we're normally scheduled from 12 to 1. This one was scheduled to start around 2, and we didn't leave here till after 4. And it was a great exchange. And it was the first exposure, I think, that you had to one of these meetings, and Jeremiah as well. Bob had been to one. And so I think it's an exposure to the board that's a great thing to have. Anything else about that meeting?
Okay. I just think that it goes well because I think the board's had, the leadership of the board has had a lot of experience with Barbara, and she brings a lot of credibility. And I think that that's has a lot to do with their openness to our recommendations.
Well, I appreciate your saying that. I have to say that I was thrilled, though, that the others of you could come, because the time before, just because of the scheduling, it had been rescheduled or something, that only I was the only one there because Fred had to go back to work and they hadn't started yet. And another time, Bob was there. But I think it's, I've even commented on this. I think after the Writers Union meeting that I attended, and I conveyed to them, one of the topics was that, you know, I think I might have done this after the meeting. I don't know if it was at the official meeting. You know, that there's still a perception out there that the board doesn't ride. And talk to them about the value of maybe putting in their bios, you know, that this is, you know, this person's, you know, Catherine says, well, I don't exactly want them to give my home address. And I said, you don't have to do that. You can say you ride the Silver Line, you know. You can say I take the 16th Street bus. And it's kind of, I thought of that when Fred was talking about 5 years later. That's what they remember, because the board members I know ride, and I don't know that they ride every day. If they live and work in Arlington, they may not ride Metro every day, but they...
Well, it was a pleasant surprise to me to learn. I mean, I believe it was either Kathy Hutchins or Mortimer that said that that the board does utilize Metro almost on a daily basis,
yeah.
Which is
yeah.
Surprising.
So
it was a pleasant surprise for me. Anyway.
I think the board has been wonderful to work with, and I like not being the only one that sits here and says, hey, they're really great people. You know, so I like that there were opportunities for others to interact with them. It was really good, and it was great for the board to interact with you guys, too.
Well, I want to reiterate what Bob was saying. I mean, Barbara, you spend a lot of time going to these board meetings, and you have established a really good relationship with them. So, you know, that allows us, everything that we do, it makes it more successful because they'll listen more. So
thank
appreciate
you.
That.
That's very nice of you. So, I would like to, since we have these sort of the rest of the committee meetings always in alphabetical order, the Triple P program, Triple P committee always goes last, so I'd like to reverse that today and let you, oh, wait, except Holly left. Never mind. Okay, so, Jeremiah, you're next.
So, actually, in kind of going back a little bit to that executive committee meeting, it was a surprise, actually, when we were discussing some of the dire financial straits that Metro is in and ways to get out of it. You know, it was a surprise for me to learn that the federal government contributes $0 towards the operating cost to subsidize the zero. You know, so it's there's four, you know, obviously jurisdictions, right, four voting jurisdictions. So even though the federal government has two votes, they don't contribute any subsidy. And they're the biggest benefactor of that. So actually, I was on the Hill today doing some lobbying efforts for labor and employment issues. And I had some downtime, so I was able to meet with Representative Connolly and Representative Whitman from, I believe Connolly represents the majority of Fairfax County, from Fairfax up through Reston. Tyson's, et cetera. I believe Whitman is more on the Woodbridge and Dumfries area, but neither of them were aware that federal government didn't contribute to this area. So that was something that they were actually intrigued with. So I did bring that up, and I think that may alleviate some of the concerns, because one thing that at least the D.C. representatives, Jack Evans specifically, encouraged us to do was to push for our elected officials, namely in Congress, to be able to look at, for, you know, for specifically for the federal government to be able to pick up some of the share. I mean, for, you know, and at least remove some of that burden on the local jurisdictions of subsidizing. So obviously, if the financial subsidy pie was split four ways instead of three, that may help alleviate some of that financial burdens on the local jurisdictions. And it seems that even some of the members of Congress and the area weren't even really fully aware of that as well. So maybe if we can encourage you as a constituent in your local jurisdictions, if you're in Virginia or Maryland, and unfortunately, I know D.C. doesn't have a voting member, so I'm sorry, but to reach out to your congressional representatives and just kind of voice your concern as Metro riders, as well as, you know, I maybe casually mention that you're in the RAC, to say that that would be something that you would encourage Congress to consider, especially right now with their with the pending transportation legislation bill that they have that I believe has to pass before Thanksgiving.
So could I just say something, though? Just you need to be careful about how you say that, because, in fact, the federal government does contribute in a number of ways, including subsidizing federal employees to ride. And so that's like direct money to the Metro. They don't send Metro a check, but they do subsidize them that way, plus they give grants to the Metro, which they use for things. So you just have to be, say that they give no money is not really true.
Yeah, I was operating subsidy cost, I believe is what Jack Evans said, that the federal government contributes $0 to operating subsidy, which the other jurisdictions pick up.
Right, but
all right, I'll calculate that. So it's the, according to...
And it's a cautionary way. It may be something that you hear back.
Right.
So, Clarence, you had a comment, and Bob, and then I want to move on.
Yeah, I was only asking a clarifying question, whether or not that was historically always the case, or is it something that has come about fairly recently that the federal government has either cut back or they never contributed?
Not sure. Yeah.
I don't think they ever have. Okay, Bob, go ahead.
I mean, historically, there used to be an operating assistance program under the federal transit program where all transit systems were eligible for some operating assistance. 8 or 10 years ago, they changed that, and only small systems under 200,000 population are eligible for operating assistance. The large systems are not, but they're the ones who get the lion's share of the capital assistance. I mean, if you look at the 35 or 40 large systems in this country, they get most of the federal transit money for capital assistance. So that's, I'm not saying I agree with it or disagree with it, but that's the reality these days.
Sorry, you're allowed to put money into the transit system above the line, and you don't pay taxes on that. That's also, I mean, it's a complicated thing to say they don't give any money. That's something you have to be careful about. Because the federal government, they could easily say, oh yeah, here's some money, and take away the subsidy.
Thank you.
Okay, Bob, do you want
to? No, I was going to say, WMATA has a lobbying staff that works on this stuff all the time, we think. And your experience on the Hill today with a couple of members from this region should be passed onto them, so they can go and brief those people.
Okay, would you like to give your committee report now?
I've said everything I want to say today. I've said too much.
Customer service committee.
Customer service. So at our customer service committee meeting about 3 weeks ago. We focused on three subjects: online complaints, the refunding of metro fares, and some stuff on bus and bus stop issues. On online complaints, I think the members of the customer service committee, certainly including myself, don't really understand how the customer service issues operate in Metro. You know, someone calls in.
Okay, that was the subject of a great deal of research last year and the year before. I guess maybe it's the year before, so I can help with that.
However, what I think we're going to have. I think we have a present. I think we have a presentation. Aren't we going to have a presentation from customer service? Next month, okay.
At the full RAC or at their meeting?
I think we decided it was full RAC. Okay, so the request was that they make their presentation available 1 week in advance to the members of RAC, so they can review it and prepare any questions. That is motivated by apparently several years ago, the last time the customer service committee. Excuse me, the last time the customer service department came and briefed RAC, or maybe it was the customer service committee, that they failed to follow up with answering any of the questions that the members of the committee had. I don't know that for a fact, but somebody who was there said that. So they just like a little more. Is that not true?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, I don't. So anyway, if we can get the presentation a week in advance, that would be very helpful.
Okay.
And distribute it to everybody.
And that's our intention, the transition, catching up. Like, we actually already have both presentations ready for December already.
Okay.
Wow.
Great. And in that context, people commented, well, for instance, the customer service department closes at 8 o'clock every night, so if you have a problem with customer service after 8 o'clock, you're out of luck until the next day. What are the guidelines in terms of response? If somebody has a question or a complaint or something like that, how long, how soon can they expect people to get back to them? And I know that a lot of this discussion was motivated by Will's experience with a bus and a bus driver and things like that. So we're going to try to get, hopefully we can get at that, whether it's through the customer service committee or the whole RAC, just to get a little more information so we're operating a certain amount of knowledge. In terms of refunding the fares, we appreciate the fact that the board seemed to be receptive to something, the concept of refunding. There was some of the members of the customer service committee felt that we ought to provide some metrics or some to them. What qualifies for a refund, or at least have a conversation. If somebody in Metro or Omada is looking into this issue, could we sit at the table to add our two cents to that conversation, so it doesn't come out as a fait accompli, and we go, what are they talking about? They missed something.
I believe when we presented that to the executive committee, we volunteered to be a participants in that. I think we did.
They did. They promised to. They promised when they relay it to Metro Management, the GM, to come up, formulate it with the policy, that we would be part of that conversation before anything was finalized.
Yeah. This our meeting may have been before we met with the executive. But anyway, in terms of the bus stop issue is more revolved around bus service more than bus stop. Our questions like, are bus drivers allowed to get ahead of schedule? Are bus drivers allowed to get behind schedule? What happens when a bus passes you by? Things like that. People's experiences riding the buses were raised, I think. So those are some of the things. And I guess we'll just, we'll plod on the next meeting to kind of sharpen our thoughts on these issues, and perhaps present a letter or a resolution or something on these to the executive committee the next time we meet with them, and see if we get some feedback. So that completes my report.
So I tried to make you go first, but I didn't notice you'd left. So I understand Albany, we've learned. We've been all saying it wrong for all year.
No.
Huh? Not everyone? Oh, okay. Anyway, representing the PPP.
Yeah, first I'd just like to say, Barbara, this is an exciting day for the PPP committee. We've been working very hard on something. A proposal for social media presence. We've informed you guys and disseminated some information as well at least another meeting. And we believe this is something that could really help us do our jobs better. And that's all I wanted to say other than I'd like to say, Avani, thank you for your hard work on this. And if you could just explain a little bit about it.
So I am glad that we have quorum today because we'd like to vote on this proposal. So hopefully you've had a chance to look through it, but if not, it's the last two pages. Says proposal for writers, advisory council, social media presence at the top. And really what this is taking into consideration where we stand currently, which is that we have been tasked with this idea that we can go out there and get writer input, and we're 21 people in a room. With the technology is there for us to reach out to more people. WMATA needs it more than ever. This is a time for us to really be able to step up, step out there and say, we're here, we can affect change, and we want to be part of positive change. We want writer input, and we want to be able to communicate it back to WMATA. One thing that we really have in our favor here is that we have this ability to communicate directly with WMATA staff and the board on a regular basis. It's a strong channel of communication. I think that the way we need to reach now is to make sure that we have the writer input in that equation, if you will. So if you kind of follow down the page, you see that current state as I just described it to an extent, and then you see that our mission, it's really to gather that large-scale feedback, develop our well-informed initiatives, communicate to WMATA what the writers really want and what they're saying, and then provide better quality, widely supported recommendations. Again, getting the people's voices, the writers' voices behind us. Our objectives are not to represent WMATA. We're not a customer service arm. We're not a marketing tool. We're writers, and we want to talk about the issues that we're facing and potential ways that we can overcome those issues. The methodology we're proposing right now is that there's two phases. The first phase is really to go out there and try to gain support from WMATA, the board, the writers, writer interest groups, community groups, get people to know that we exist. Get people to know what our position is, to help them understand that we have this direct channel to the staff, to the board, and that we want to hear what they have to say because we are one of them. We're not the board. We're not the staff. We are writers. We ride the metro. We ride the buses. That is the biggest part, I think, of phase one. And then kind of going from that is actually getting that planning and design so that we can start our platform as we agree upon it. The part of that phase then is sharing information. One of the ways that we think we can get people to hear us is to share interesting information that means something to them. So whether it's highlighting who we are, whether it's sharing information about WMATA, like, hey, you had a question about this, here's a direct link to that answer, or here's someone at WMATA talking about that answer, getting people's attention. And then once we can kind of get our foothold on there, we have our presence established, we have this way to communicate to people, we can start developing the next phase, which is gathering information, which is really going out to the public and in a very constructive way, in a very organized fashion, put out questions to the public and get their feedback, and then tell them what we're doing with that feedback so that they know why we're asking the questions and what we're going to do with it, and then they can hopefully see the results of that work. That is an undertaking, and we understand that, and we've put together some components, some of which will just have to be developed as we go. This is the brainchild, if you will, of the PPP committee, but it's the child essentially of the RAC, and we want everyone's input. We want everyone's help in designing and implementing and supporting, because one thing that we have to be cognizant of too is that setting it up is one thing, supporting it and keeping it sustainable is the next step. We've put together a brief plan components, which I've talked through for the most part, but the thing we want to come to you today with is our objectives of standing up, being a presence, and getting information, sharing information. We want to be able to vote on that, to pass it through so that we can start working on that. And we want to know what your thoughts are as the RAC. Is there anything, actually, from before I turn it over and you guys ask questions, is there anything that the committee wants to share?
I just wanted to reiterate that this was information that we passed out last meeting, yeah, and even at a time before that, right? So it is really our intention to move forward with this for a vote and to keep in mind that this is a phased process. So, you know, we will be, to a certain extent, key decisions we'll be making along the way, and we'll come back and get more feedback from people. So this isn't just an okay and then we do whatever we're going to do.
May I ask to clarify, is it the same material that was distributed last time, or is it significantly different, or is it different in a few ways that you would elaborate on?
It is primarily the same. There have been a few wording changes, and then some of the comments that were discussed at the last meeting, we've tried to incorporate as best as possible an explanation for those.
Yeah, and kind of I just noticed one too, is like some of the concern was the feedback that would be solicited, and I think there's more clarity now that the feedback would be pretty much closed-ended, avoiding free-form text questions, and so I know that was one of the areas that I myself had, and maybe a few others, so there does seem to be clarification on that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, to comment on that, so there's a couple of reasons for that. It's not that we don't want to hear what people have to say, but we want it to be constructive. So if people are just writing in all of their concerns, there's not much that we can do with it. If there's not, like, so for example, we all have full-time jobs or other places that we are that we can't necessarily be monitoring it, and we wouldn't want that information to just seem like it's unheard. And so that's one of the reasons that we'd want it to be closed-ended. I think it's also easier to go back to the WMATA staff and board and say, here's a definite answer that we've gotten from the people who ride the Metro on a daily basis, and it's more quantitative as opposed to qualitative, because we can get qualitative, but I think quantitative is sticking.
Yeah, I mean, one of the concerns about the prior one is that it would look like we were maybe an agent or an arm of WMATA, and not an arm or an agent of the RIER, which is really where we are. So that was, appreciate that update.
So let's open it up for anyone who does have a comment, question, concern, whatever it is. And Clarence, you can start it off.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. I know we've gone, but yeah, but I, you know, I've shared that I'm on the wrap with like my friends or other places like that. And in my first meeting, like I took a picture of my cheese plate and like people commented like, on Facebook and whatever else. And so people have just followed up since, like, oh, how have the meetings been going? And I think they definitely see it as a resource in there. So I think more ways that we could do that in like an official capacity and just starting, you know, 6 degrees of separation from everyone else and just starting from there, I think could be a really good way of communicating that up. So great job.
I'd like to make a motion that the RAC approve the proposal, the two-page proposal presented in the packet here for the Riders Advisory Council social media presence. Do I hear a second?
Oh yeah, that's right. I just realized you asked for the second. So it has been moved and seconded to adopt the two-page proposal. That's the page that starts current state and the one that has plan components. We can open it to any additional discussion. I have a question. I gave you some feedback because I wasn't at the meeting where you did present, and I thought there were more substantial changes. I didn't realize this was about the same. So are we saying that we would approve it, and so the suggestions I made would not get in? Because I don't think they're in this version. I thought that there were some paragraphs that I thought there was something like prior to posting, approval from all individuals is required. I just thought there should be a clarification of what all individuals means. You know, like what if you meant those three individuals, or I just didn't know what you meant. There were a few things like I had a list of questions.
I think that the first two comments were more like that, the one that you just described. And we can implement those because those are just clarifications. So it would, instead of like all, it would say all of the rec or all of the
Do you have some
owners.
Specific comments,
I can
Barbara,
pull it up.
I don't know if I brought that. So
I can pull it up.
Can you?
Mm-hmm.
I can probably too. It was just a few. Yeah, and yeah, some would not be applicable.
Right.
One was, I know that was one. Another was that when you are in the objectives and you talk, the disclaimer about this isn't customer service, this isn't representing the board, I
yep.
suggested that we specifically spell out that this is not a dual, this is
community.
Not the same as the customer community. I thought that clarification would be good.
Right.
Do
you want to look at them?
Sure.
Thank you. Because I think that we could implement the first two, so clarifying that we're not the customer community as well, and then also the
clarify who the all individuals are.
Who all individuals, so it's all RAC individuals.
Right, and the thing about referring customer complaints to WMATA's customer service, I absolutely agree. They do get more than just complaints. They get complaints, commendations. They you know, it's the stuff that, the specific incident type things that go to them. I think that just needs to be a little bit clearer that it's not just complaints.
Okay, I can look at the website and see what all they say.
Sure.
And add that in.
Yeah.
Ryan, you're the do we make an amendment?
Yeah, so now that you have a motion and a second, you can do amendments to make those changes.
You're our guru.
But just remember that once you start discussing amendment, everything has to be germane to an amendment, just as a side note.
Okay. So am I the one that makes that amendment? I propose that those I would call clarification things, not any change in intent, but if clarifications be made to the document as Avani and I just described. And any discussion of that? So we vote now, I believe, on...
Wait a minute. So what are we going to vote? I don't get what we're
voting on an amendment right now.
An amendment that...
What's the amendment?
Okay, the amendment is the list of things that we said that I had commented on. The three things are, okay. That in the paragraph about owners, that we clarify what approval from all individuals is required means. Who are the all? I believe that's those are RAC, the three RAC people?
Yes.
Yes, okay. That complaint handling is other, which is point number four, I think. I don't have the current one in front of me, do I? It's now C4. C4. Okay. That it's not just customer complaints. It's those specific individual comments, complaints, commendations, whatever. You know, I think Joe Brown is a great supervisor. You know, that kind of stuff, just like complaints, goes to customer service. Was there one more? Oh, yeah, that the objectives disclaimer, what I call the disclaimer paragraph, what this isn't, it's not duplicating the customer community and the other research things, but the customer community in particular. So it's been moved and seconded that we make those amendments.
So I have some words. So when you're like amending a document,
yes,
can we have like specific language that's going to go in the document so I know what I'm voting on? What exactly is the language going to be? Because I have some other questions about language in here, which I think are unclear.
Okay.
So right now it's only...
So I'm asking specifically, because we're talking about clarifying language, I think we need to have clear language.
Can we table this vote until he gives his...
I think I want to table it.
I meant table the amendment that I had.
Okay.
I didn't mean,
okay.
I'm sorry, when I said this vote, see, I wasn't clear what this vote was. Because then it'll give me a minute to say what the words are while you discuss your, so I'll withdraw the motion while you speak.
Is that what you meant, Fred? Did you, or
he
did
wants
you
to,
have
He
also
wants to make his own.
Okay.
I think he has
okay.
some, all,
okay.
some of his own.
So I don't understand the methodology for what to agree on social media platform and rack owners comment. What does that mean?
Whether we use Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, and who on the rack would be responsible for it. So one, for the first part, so the social media platform, do we want to use Facebook? Do we want to use LinkedIn? Do we want to use Twitter? I'm not familiar with much more than that. So what do we want to start as our platform? And then secondly to that, who on the rack would be owning it? And I mean that in terms of who's going to push the buttons at the end of the day or the beginning of the day and actually post comments or post information or receive information, because having 21 people do that is not efficient or probably realistic. Does that help?
So what I was reading in here, but it doesn't actually say, is that we intend to develop processes about how we're going to do this.
Yes, I think, the start to that is the plan components on the back, but I think that their processes will fall into place and we'll see what those are as we go.
So that's what we intend to do, right?
Yes.
So we wouldn't want to say that
here? The methodology is laying out the strategy. It's not dictating a strategy tonight. What we're saying is that with the overall motion as it stands, we agreed to start this process, and then the methodology lays out, here's what we need to figure out next. And that includes what platforms we use and what rack members will actually be in charge of it. Those are details that will be sorted out once we have approval to kind of move forward.
I still have a problem with bullet two, I get what you're saying. But I'm not sure that any normal reader would have got that out of bullet two.
I think it's possible to even shorten bullet two to say agree on rack owners, but I think that the plan design and implementation is kind of what will come next. As a rack, though, I think that we have to agree on who the owners are going to be. And a platform. I mean, right, like if you don't.
Fred is just saying those are not words that he uses.
Oh.
I'm just saying that. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. I'm saying that I don't think a normal reader would have got that out of that bullet.
Oh. And I think the audience for this document is this group.
This is the group. Yeah. So.
No, I don't get it.
No, I know. So we need to fix it for us. But we don't have to consider the world at large necessarily.
Well, I don't understand what they meant.
You could even say Facebook, et cetera, inside. That might even help.
So is it okay if we do agree on social media platform, parentheses, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera? I can come up with more if necessary. Pinterest. Is that okay? And then the rack owners, is there a suggested change there? Again, that would be who on a daily basis is responsible for Reading, comments, writing, posting.
Would saying the rack administrators be more helpful rather than owners?
We're the media platform administrators.
I like that. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to do media platform administrators on behalf of the rack.
Did you have others, Fred? Well, I appreciate you bringing it up because now I've had an opportunity to have specific words. Do I have to be specific about the words that you just got from that too? Or you want to?
I just
first what Fred was talking about.
Mine's not friendly.
Well, you just, a friendly amendment to what you're saying.
I think mine could be friendly amendment too. That the owner owner paragraph just add the words from these three individuals is required. Because that all individuals means these three.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And that the C4 refer customer complaints and other specific situation comments to WMATA's customer service. Just add this.
Can we change the complaints to comments? Would that be inclusive enough to include both positive and negative, just customer comments?
We can. I just was concerned. A comment, you know, can be a big, massive suggestion as opposed to a situational thing.
Okay, refer positive and negative customer comments.
I do want to clarify that this other is, in my mind right now, a statement on our platform, whatever we choose to use, that says we are not the customer service department. Please refer to XYZ link or phone number or whatever for any customer issues, comments, complaints, blah, 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 blah. So it's not, I mean,
you know, I, okay.
I'll withdraw it because
I think we know, I think it conveys that because people think of complaints. I don't think they think of you never are on time as a complaint. They think of it as when I went there yesterday, blah, 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 happened.
Right.
So this maybe just add the
in
word
all honesty
specific.
Is more of a CYA, I feel like, for the RAC, that we're not going
well,
to
take
in.
Well, you've already covered that in the other thing about what we're not doing. You know what I mean?
Right. This is in our communication platform, though.
I don't know how to interpret that to what we need to do here.
Well, you're discussing sort of what you won't do, and there are mandates in the bylaws on what you should do in certain situations. So I would just say, whatever you decide here, I would return to the bylaws and see how they line up. That's all I'm saying.
Right, and with that, the platform, you would go back to free-form comments, that it's not really going to be set up to say just type anything that the person wants.
Right.
What else, Mark? Did you have any?
So I'm willing to withdraw my change on that because I think it covers what we need to do. The other one was in the objectives, we do not intend to represent that list. I would add nor the customer community.
After board
or directors. Amplify, whatever we want to call
after
it.
After board of directors.
We did not intend to represent WMATA, the board of directors, or Amplify.
Where do you want to put Amplify in that?
Yeah, because I think represent WMATA is more like saying that we are WMATA. We're serve as a customer service outlet, replace customer community, or replace Amplify.
Why don't you say we do not intend to represent WMATA, its customer community,
or the
board of directors?
I like that. So I move that we add its customer community between WMATA or the board of directors.
I think that's friendly.
I would just add a friendly bit in, maybe put parentheses, Amplify in there just so it doesn't read
Amplify.
As we're not going to represent the customer community, which is actually riders, which we do represent. So just kind of being specific in that sense, I think is kind of.
Could you put capital C's with customer community?
Yeah. Just
right. Amplify. Great. Okay. So. Just to clarify, I already moved, didn't I?
I can just do a quick recap so everybody's
do
on
that.
The same page
do
about
that.
What we're changing.
Please.
So on the first page, skipping down to objectives, we're now adding, so it reads, we do not intend to represent WMATA, its customer community, parentheses, Amplify, or the board of directors, et cetera. Skipping down to methodology, the second bullet point will now read, agree on social media platform, parentheses, Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, and media platform administrators on behalf of RAC. Flipping over to the next page, plan components B, owners. The last sentence will read, prior to posting, approval from all of these three individuals is required. And then that's it, actually.
No. So as clarified, do we need to, because it was seconded earlier, so is.
So we don't have to vote on it. Just
oh, so. Yeah. I ask if people take it as a friendly amendment, or I ask if they object to that, or what? Any objections to that being a friendly amendment? Oh, okay, as Avani just read. Okay, so we now have the original motion on the table. We've had it seconded. Did we get a record of seconds? Do we need a record of seconds? Okay, you got that, yes, okay. And so is there additional discussion? So I will call for the vote. I would like on this one, all those in favor of the motion to adopt this these two pages as friendly amended, please raise your hand high so we can get a good count and a good register, and take note that this is unanimous. So I won't ask for nays or abstentions. Congratulations. I think this committee deserves a really round of applause. And with 2 minutes to spare, I could have done my whatever. So as soon as I find the page that all my notes are on, I'm going to move on to announcements. I think I will say that we have received answers from all of our members who have either, well, first of all, we received answers from our people who have terms expiring at the end of the year, and we know who is seeking reappointment. We know who is not. We have three that are, three that are not, and we, independent of that, we have three members who have probably not even been here much lately because they've run into conflicts that they are resigning at this time. So we have six people that will need to be replaced. I said that right, I believe, as we know it now. And then I think we may have, or maybe you've gotten your applications now, and we need a signature or something. Maybe we already have that. Okay. So that's our status. Next month, we are going to have a conversation about next year. Did you want to ask a question?
I do have a question. Can you tell us the positions, so the jurisdictions that are being replaced?
Sure. The resignation, this is a test. I think this one's D.C. I think this one's Virginia. That one's Virginia. Those are the resignations.
Oh, thank
gosh.
You.
Oh, that was all six combined. Okay, fine. Kat, thank you. Thank you very much. So we'll talk next time about, it's the last one of the year, and we not only have presentations coming, we have, some of us have talked a little bit about, you know, being appropriate, that it's not only the end of the year, it's holiday time, and so we thought it might be nice to end our meeting with some kind of little social time, and we haven't got any of those details worked out, but I'm hoping. Do I have any objections to doing that? And we're not really, you know, we're not going to have, like, dancing girls or smorgasbord or anything, but, you know, we'll do something.
Barbara, we would have to ask for the board approval for that.
Right? Yeah, right. I think I'm going to try to see if I can even, you know, budgets are tight, so even see if we can get somebody to, a few of us to volunteer to bring something, even if it's something you'd stop by and get on the way here. But we'll have some provided to by staff. Another announcement. As I sent out an email a while back, and at the base of your front page of your agenda, You have in the bottom right corner a list of the remaining meet and greets. It's meet the board. And how many of you have already, there haven't been a lot of them since you got the announcement. How many of you have actually attended one? Ryan has and Bob. Ryan, is there anything you'd like to share about your experience?
So I'm thinking the same thing you're talking about. We actually met, the DC group met with our DC specific.
Yeah, no, I wasn't specific.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a while back. This is going to one of, this in the last couple of weeks and over the next couple of weeks, there are some meet the boards things.
Oh.
So that the board can, they actually asked for an opportunity at one of their committee meetings to be able to go out and talk to the writers. And so you raised your hand. So you, I think, did go to one of those. You want to tell us about that?
Yesterday evening, I went to the Bethesda station, and Kathy Porter from Tacoma Park, the board member, was there. A lot of Metro staff were there. I kind of did two things. I let Kathy was the person, really the focal point, so I listened to a lot of comments that riders made to her. And it was the usual litany. You can probably guess what people said. They complained about elevators, they complained about undependable service, they complained about the PEDs, they were concerned about, they are genuinely concerned about the decreasing ridership of Metro, what that might mean to them. A little bit about the fares. One very interesting fact was someone made a comment that if you know the Red Line, this person said, I didn't confirm, but the cost between Shady Grove and Bethesda, which is four or five stops, is more than the cost between Bethesda and Silver Spring, which is like 17 stops. It's just an, as we've talked about fares, it's just an interesting observation. And, but, so it was interesting to listen to people, and then I also had a chance to meet with a number of some of the more senior Metro staff. The chief of staff was there, the inspector general, well, I didn't even know they had an inspector general, was there. The superintendent for the Red Line, there were three superintendents on the Red Line, two on all the other lines. This guy was in charge from Shady Grove down to Cleveland Park or something. That's why I talked to him. So it was interesting. It was a learning experience for me. But I did not engage any of the riders because this is a board of directors event, and I felt that was the more important, even though she introduced me to a few people. So I encourage you to go. You'll learn something from the riders and the Metro staff who were there.
So one thing, I think it's a good topic to discuss tonight because I look around the room and I actually am shocked that other than Patrick, who's been around since, I don't know, a man walked on. I don't know. I thought, what would be appropriate to say there? Anyway, I've been here longer than anybody else at this table, and that's only 4 years or so. And as long as we talked about the social media, and it's a wonderful way for us to find out what the writers are thinking and saying, we've struggled for 4 years that I've been here to say, well, what can we do? And we've tried sessions, listening sessions, which we had success with in Alexandria, and we, I think, picked a bad time in Montgomery or in Maryland, and we tried to go to community events. But there are hearings that when those come around, I'm going to say, gee, I think you should go to this. If there's any opportunity that you have to go to one of these sessions, you get right at one point a chance to meet the board member that represents your jurisdiction. You get a chance to meet and maybe another one or two. You get a chance to hear them talk. You get a chance to talk to the staff that maybe you've heard about, and you can talk to them about what they do and learn more that way. You can talk to the writers. I mean, he made a choice not to, but you can talk to the writers. Even if you make your own little, name tag, just get something and say this your name and, Writers Advisory Council, And I think it's a rare opportunity, and I encourage you to do it. Find one that's near you. And I'm going to King Street tomorrow night. I'm going to try to get to Roslyn at the end there because they're both in my neck of the woods in Virginia, and I just highly recommend it. Another thing I recommend is I have heard through the grapevine that there's going to be another evacuation drill. These are quarterly, and so far Will has been our constant factor. He's been at both of them. I missed one from being out of town, but it's going to be December 13th. If you've got a calendar anywhere near you that you can write this down, I'm going to send it in an email too, and it'll be on future calendars. It's always a Sunday. I'm sorry. It's always at 6:30 or so in the morning. I'm sorry. It's going to be in Montgomery County somewhere. I don't know the station yet, but there are so many things that riders are concerned about, and day in and day out, they're going to talk about, you know, the late, undependable or whatever things with the trains. But when there is a safety and safety thing, that's the thing that everybody really, really, really cares about. It's just that it doesn't happen every day. And we have an opportunity there, and you know, Patrick can talk about this too, to really give our feedback and to say, you know, it wasn't clear to me, or I didn't think you did this. And Will, I welcome your saying something, and Patrick can too, about the value of going to these.
I've been on another drill that's through another organization within the last weeks, and that one was, even though we didn't have live bodies on it, we were using mannequins, but they made them full weight, and this was more lifelike. We weren't actually in the train tunnel, we were in a warehouse over in New Carrollton, and this was kind of an extension of something that Rotary is doing. But they had, you know, they put the theater smoke in and the whole night. So, you know, we actually were in a tunnel similar to the ones that we actually, you know, were in, well, at least the one I went in before for the Metro. And for most people that have not done it, I mean, I highly recommend that you do it, because it's more than the notion of navigating through the tunnel. And even the platform in the tunnel that you have to come through to get to the external platform is very narrow. There's lots of little metal or steel prongs in the platform that they put flares down for you to see them, but still there's something that's easy to trip over, and if you trip, then you probably fall back into the track bed. So, but there is, you know, it's a lot of information to learn and process, and afterwards, you know, I would say feel more secure if you did have to evacuate train of what you would have to go through, as opposed to all of a sudden being tossed into it and then not, you know, feeling comfortable at all. But yeah, it's something that, you know, I left comments on several things, but one of the things I told the guy afterwards was that a lot of these, of course, are very structured, and This is the dramatic part of me wanting to see a full-blown, you know, let's just go for put passengers in the train car and let them have at it on their own. Don't put any Metro personnel in there, and let's see what they're going to do when they try to get out of the train. And, I mean, granted, obviously they're going to be in the tunnels, and, you know, the fire department would respond just like they normally do during the drills. But going back to what I mentioned earlier about the call button and people not releasing the call button, how are people actually going to react when they're in the train by themselves, as opposed to, you know, an administrator being there? So, you know, those kind of things I think are important to see.
And every set of eyes, I think, will come up with their own feedback.
Exactly.
Patrick, would you like to say something?
Sure, I'd like to just say a couple of things from my side. I've been on one of these. I missed the last one. I'll certainly be on the one in Montgomery County. The AAC and having disabled people as part of this drill, I think, is critical.
Yep.
One of the recommendations we have made is that we would like to see these drills opened up to the general public so you could get more people with disabilities involved in these drills. I understand that we're doing this to educate the firefighters and first responders.
True.
I understand that. But I also know that from the disabled community, and I'm sure the riding public in general, they would like to know what they're expected to do when XYZ happens.
Right.
So it's not, shouldn't be, so anyway, I've made that recommendation before. Don't know if it's going to take hold, but I hope so.
Okay.
One of the, a couple of areas that are critical, as far as people with disabilities, working with people who are deaf, working with people who are deafblind. It has not been a lot of participation from my committee in those two areas, and even more critical than that, the service animals have not been able to participate. People just, we only have a few with guide dogs, let's say, in my, on my committee. Where that is critical is that even though we understand that this is a drill, this, the service animals, the guide dogs, don't know it's a drill. And so watching how they work, watching if they need to be picked up and put on a cart, all that kind of stuff is, you know, for them it's a real life event. They don't know it's a drill. So that is one of the reasons why I'd like to see just the more involvement in the disability community, and particularly with firefighters, first responders, working with service animals.
Thank you, Patrick.
Sure.
I didn't ask for announcements from the floor. Anybody got something that they want to share with the group that you're not going to let me adjourn 2 minutes early, are you?
I would just like to announce, or just to say, Barbara, you're thinking about how to say that Pat's been around for a while. You could just say that he's been part of the AAC before the Metro existed.
Yeah. True. All right, well, then I would like Clarence to stay after because I haven't met him yet. So that's how we'll spend the last 2 minutes. Thank you. Oh, hasn't he done that? Have you done that at a meeting? Have you ever introduced yourself and who you are? You already did that. Whatever. You can come with me and we can meet him. Okay. Thank you. This meeting is adjourned. I don't have a gavel. Here's my cell phone. Since my brother called me in the middle of the meeting.